over the land. You can bring one to verse 5. Open it, Lord, who have bewitched you, that you did not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evident to set forth, crucified among you. This moment, would I learn you, receive Jesus' Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing from the having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so little things in vain, if it's been done in vain? Is it for the nature of you, the Spirit, works of trouble among you, that you did by the work of the law, or by the hearing of the flesh? I have Father, in Christ's name, we pray that you will give us the option of Holy Spirit that your mind will see and understand the truth that is before us. In the context of the whole book of Galatians that we've been studying this far, we pray that we might see the application that the letter of Paul, Apostle Paul, is setting before us, and that we ourselves will see the heart. We will see this proclamation of the truth that is before us here, and make application of it in the truth of our own souls. We pray that you will be honored and glorified, the Lord's Christ will be lifted up, and we will be drawn to Him and let the way than we have before. In Christ's name, we pray these things. If you were to do a search on Paul's writings and the epistle that he wrote, I think you will discover that the teaching that he wrote about, the primary doctrine that certain more people would be the doctrine of justification by faith. The wrong letter was regarded as doctrine that had ever been written. In the letter, the conclusion brings in that doctrine, justification by faith. Most all the other writings, even the pastoral epistles, he writes about and brings in the doctrine of justification by faith. In order to support, in order to give more people, he had a vague way that he was bringing in our source. He had to bring us also scripture in order that he could show that the doctrine of justification by faith was indeed a word from God, and it is probably the first and fundamental doctrine that the church needs to be proud of. Luther, Martin Luther, the well-known reformer, made the statement, he said this well today, the standing on the fallen of a church is on the doctrine of justification. That's so it is a fundamental doctrine, yes, it is the thing that we fall back upon, and the thing that falls to doctrine, even in the letter, and here in this situation, are living with his people. We're following Paul in the area of the letters, and this happened elsewhere as well. And they were saying, well, what Paul proposes of them, but he didn't even go far enough. Jesus plus something else for them. And that church full of doubters. We call in chapter 2, Paul and Pharisee, and they call he was not walking uprightly according to the gospel. So it's a very, very important story. And the Christian of this life in order for the Christian of the gospel. So, to put it simply, I want to make sure I'm putting before you what we're talking about the doctrine of justification by faith. Well, it means that the believer is justified. It means that the moment that a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Paul's teaching, that person is justified before God. One of the early part of my Christian life has been so according to the temple in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him that sanctifies the ungodly, that person claims he is counted for righteousness. That's one of the great statements in regard to the doctrine of Jesus. The person does not work, then lays down his daily duty, and he believes on this Jesus the Christ, the one who made the perfect atonement, completely redeemed. The one who believes in that, places their faith in that atonement everywhere they are, and places their faith in me. That person places his faith for right. Here in this text, in this chapter, where we read these verses, the old verses belong to the Spirit of Abraham, both of God, and the Constitution for right. God made an announcement to Abraham, he was in the nation just like that. All people were the more they are saved. Because we believe the record, the word that God has spoken to him. Well, what is the arsenal that I mentioned? Some of the things in that arsenal that Paul knew in order to bring his books to argue about his truth and find the truth where the Galatians were. Well, we read in the first 5 verses here in chapter 3. It is the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit that falls to where he brings in that truth in order to convey to the electors as well that we are born of the Spirit. We didn't receive the Spirit by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith, by the hearing of the message. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of about 13 times. And it's all of the verses of the scripture as he used them for 9 years. And it's all of them with a capital H. And what we see is that the new year is a divine person. It's the third person of God. It's a divine person who's personal. And all he is the one who conveys to us the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the things of God. But what is it that the Holy Spirit does for and through the believer, the child of God? Well, the immigration is salvation. The salvation is of ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is believing on him. What you believe, what is it that happens to us? Well, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? And we'll listen to it, and we'll go through it, and we'll have our rest mostly in the book of Romans. And we'll look at the four things. We'll see that, first of all, the Holy Spirit performs the miracle of the new birth in the believer. We learn this from verse 1. Before. But then we were born after the flesh, persecuted him that were born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Now to notice the two contrasts in what we have here. The one who was born after the flesh, and the one who was born after the Spirit. The one who was born after the flesh, that is Israel. The one who was born after the Spirit, that is God. Who is the son of the child of promise. And you contrast the verses compared to what our Lord said to Nicodemus in John chapter 8. Jesus said, that which flesh is flesh, it's always going to remain flesh. It'll never be the same but flesh. And it is unimprovable flesh. And I'll elaborate about that in a future message. But then that which is born of the Spirit is. And remember what Jesus said in John 3:5, each person that can be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And those all said in verse 8, the Spirit of the wind blows where it pleases, you hear the sound of it, you can hear where it's coming from. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when we look at that, we discover that the miracle of the new birth. The sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. We can never place ourselves in the family of God. We can never make ourselves Christians. But we Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to receive Him as Savior, there is evidence that we are born of God, born of Jesus, and we become members of His family. Now, Peter turns to a familiar passage, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, that gives us the best explanation of that. I want you to understand that volition does not burden you with the kingdom of God, but rather, if you're in the kingdom of God, and you believe because you have been birthed into the kingdom of God. Look at what he says, verse 12. But as many as received Him, those who did not receive Him, they were born of another seed, came under the law, and those who did not believe in Him, did receive Him, but they will get the power to become the Son of God. Even to them that believe on His name, not the word, for those who respond to the word, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, which were born of God. Why did they believe? Why did they receive? Because they were born of God. So the Holy Spirit performed the miracle of the new birth in the believer. When a person believes, they heard them and know them that they are justified before God because it is the very next question of what follows the message. Now, what does that mean? We see that it's the Holy Spirit that performs the miracle of new birth in the hearts. So let's get that on in chapter 5, verse 25. The Holy Spirit communicates the divine life to us. In those in verse 25 of chapter 5, the expression, we live by the Spirit. This reminds us of the fact that when we are born again, and are constituted members of God's family, the very life of God is communicated to us, it is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit, by our natural birth. We receive the full life. When we are born again, we receive spiritual life. Peter puts it this way in the second letter in chapter 1, verse 4. What is the knowledge of our love between grace and grace of promises that by the use of like partakers of the divine nature has been changed to the corruptions that sin the world? A Christian man is not just who is perfect, not one who tries to follow the example of Christ, but he is one who has been raised from the dead. For the Bible says, and then you see what? You have two Christians, God Christians, who are dead and affected in the city. That's why we need to be born again by the Spirit of God receives new life. Jesus put it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11-12. This is the rest of this life, gets up in front of us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. And so the Holy Spirit communicates the divine life to the believer. But now, looking at the implication of Paul's question in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, the Holy Spirit personally indwells every believer. He implies that all believers in the Church of Israel have received the Holy Spirit. And so the text, how have they received Him and worked? He said, by the hearing of the faith, the message of faith in the Word, the moment that they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within them forever. Because the Holy Spirit dwells forever. Remember, we chose in John's Gospel chapter 7, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And the scripture said, out of his thirst shall flow rivers of living water. This is the place of the Holy Spirit, which is not yet given, for he is not yet glorified. He is the Holy Spirit who dwells every child of God. You can read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that the love of God is there abroad in our hearts by the know the love of God? Only because the Holy Spirit is meant to draw in our hearts the love of God. Or you can read in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit that we've all been baptized into one body. Or in 1 Thessalonians 4, that God has given unto us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit personally dwells in the life of every believer, every child of God. So look at 4:6. The Holy Spirit gives the believer the assurance of sonship. And he calls the Son, God has given forth the Spirit of the Son into their hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And notice the first part of this verse. It confirms why we hope to do that. But what does the Holy Spirit do for us when we enter into our hearts? We learn that He creates within us the consciousness of our relationship to our Heavenly Father, and He gives us the assurance that we are in accord with our Heavenly Father. And translated, that is why the small child that He's dead. Abba, Father, we are the children of God and we have a personal relationship under Him. We reverence Him, but He wants us to desire Him and to be related to Him as a child is to His Father. And so the Holy Spirit is the believer, the assurance of conscience. But now look at 5:11, verse 6 and 7. The Holy Spirit leads the believer into victory over sin and verses and second into the thing. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And then you're contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. When we are born again, when we were born again, a warfare took place in the battlefield, on the battlefield of this soul, your life. One said, when you're born physically, the Bible says, man is born woman, but a few days and fully covered. And this creature, particularly pretty well, and said, but when you're born of the Spirit, your troubles are doubled. And that's true. Because a warfare immediately begins in your life. Calm the God's Spirit. Over in Romans 6:7, remember his language. What shall do the most evil with terror and weapons? Well, I think Chris said that is true. Why we do good evil is always present with me. O wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And all in all, he goes. The one is the way of deliverance from this sinful nature, having the believer be victorious over Satan and Satan. The Holy Spirit has given us the victory. Have a working verse for Satan and Satan. When we walk, walk in the Spirit, and this means going along in the harmony with himself, with the Spirit. And who is more pleased how can two walk together except that they agree? You need to be a child of God in agreement with God's way, the way that God has prescribed. Because when you're not, you're dead. God needs to go. You're walking comfortable to the truth. So when we're walking comfortably with Him, we can experience the victory that happens. But now look at verse 6. When we submit to His lead, He says, but in the level of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we recognize His lordship and yield us His control, then we experience His victory. You know, when Peter had that vision, the book of Acts, God will let the combat succeed and all the animals and the verse 8, it is then not so, Lord. For who has nothing of the flesh? He who from that experience being recognized and yielded himself to the control of the Holy Spirit. When we recognize the Lord Jesus Christ and yield ourselves to the control that we too experience in this business. So let's turn it. Look over in chapter 6, verse 7. When we exercise discipline in our lives, no place, the doctor sees God is not long. For whatsoever a man grow up, that shall be also written. It is over the way of the red will be crushed, but the result of the Spirit of the Spirit will reach life everlasting. It is possible for a child of God to go to the simple heart, to the formation, or to go to the Spirit. And that's why we are enjoying what we are in Romans 13 verse. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't obey. Not provision for the flesh to obey in the lust thereof. And how many times when we read in the epistle of Paul, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put out your old man, put on the new man, so to speak. And why is it that we're told to deny the lust of the flesh? Because if we don't deny it, we will do this. And from the works of business is to exercise discipline in our lives. So the Holy Spirit leads the believer into a life of victory over sin and over death. But the first thing you see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1-2, the Holy Spirit makes the believer like the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 1-2, you've got a cluster of the fruit of the Spirit, and this fruit has all been produced in our lives by the Holy Spirit. It's really very practical. We can only become like the Lord Jesus, loving and joyful and peaceful, long-suffering and true, and all God knows that the Holy Spirit makes us like Him. You and I, we don't become like the Lord Jesus Christ, but struggling and struggling. Having been born of the Spirit, we're also sanctified by the Spirit. Look back to chapter 3 and verse 3. All of those things, have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now perfected? Are you now better off not observing the law? Does fruit grow on the fruit? Not by serving, not by striving. When the branch is in union with the vine and in communion with the vine, then we know that the fruit grows. John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you're the vine, you are better fruit. So I can hear some of you are like, crosses of growth. I'm getting brought into your mind. Oh, that is a message. But you know, looking at the tree with all the trees, all the vines and trees, green road is called the middle road. You know that the soul gets nourishment not from the soul. It gets all of its nourishment from the host of truth. And its root has no root of its own, no root system, and neither does the root system. We get all of our nourishment from the host who is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we abide in Him, we discover the riches of His grace and the riches of His glory. We discover that abiding in Him, we are being conformed to the image of God's Son. We're being made like Jesus over time. And then, look in verse 5 of verse 3. The Holy Spirit is the inspiration and the power of the believer's service. All those who lived and labored upon the elections, all these ministry was in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. We can never serve God effectively in the energy of the Lord. the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. From the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. You know, church has become a little messy in several weeks, but they say, I'm all for spirituality. But I say, it's not by might, it's not by power. Our Lord mentioned the early church in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, his followers, but you are in power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes on you and will be risen to unto you. So the Holy Spirit is the strength and the power of the believer. Our church said, we can do more by the Spirit of God's word and prayer than we can. Any more that way than by any other thing. I believe it. But to all the churches today, may we share with you and rely only upon the movement and the leading of the Holy Spirit. For goodness is not. Now we can learn this question of Paul is, reading to the Spirit by the works of the law. Receive the Spirit by the works of the law. All those who heard and believed and obeyed, not a word was said of the works of the law that given Jesus Christ. And God did not the word not confirm the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was done only in connection with the preaching of the gospel. Do we receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the message? The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, never apart from the Word of God. So if you can run to someone who says, well, this is no, they did not. The Spirit did not. The Spirit said all that Word of God is required in the Word and use that Word. And let the words to the Spirit. It is the Spirit that comes that never makes a lie. The question of this. The words that I tell you that Spirit and the life, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to birth a person in the kingdom or to build up a child of God in the kingdom with. And the Holy Spirit teaches the Word of God to be written by the law. The verses of this chapter say some that Abraham believed God was true for righteousness. Did the Holy Spirit lead Abraham to be described by the law? Because of the law, did not hate him at all. We're justified by faith in the written word of the Lord Jesus Christ. God brings a soul from unbelief to belief. From a lack of trust, that we will learn. Under the Holy Spirit, is the person after that God professed to be justified by faith, which had works of the flesh. And how did that really know? Paul verse Adam out of a few of here. The blessing of salvation comes solely by the hearing of the faith. The hearing of the message of the Lord through Jesus today. People can declare what is not the most moving of the elements of the charisma or a particular channel of expression of a particular picture of love. But we can already determine the wrongness and the purity of a message by the entirety of the gospel in that message. If I heard a man who said he was a gospel preacher, and preach and never talk about the gospel, I never know who that man is. You don't care, you don't know what the gospel is. The message is contained entirety of the cross. Look at verse 1 of the chapter 3. When Paul says, O foolish Galatians, the rich you do not obey the truth before you ask about the inevitable force crucified among you, know that grows the inevitable step forth. And that is a word that we can use electronically. It's one that was called to use. It's Paul said, the billboards have been put up all throughout all the cities. Proclaiming Christ crucified, the only way to honor. Now, foolish elect, who has been much to you that you do not obey this truth? Christ crucified among you. Well, our death in this story, Christ has been swept off, crucified, which has been crucified, and the only means of our death. Would you be so foolish as to revert to God's invitation and to die before God? Well, the attack upon Paul was not that much on you. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who did this? How did you learn? You did run well. What did it hinder you that you have not obeyed the truth? And you were born to Christ, who might be in faith. To depart from this simple message about the centrality of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we confuse the lesson of your life in this. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you boast? In what do you do? What do you boast? What do you boast? Have you rescued which calls so adamantly set before the blessings of the investigation of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This child of God, are you joy and rejoice? Are you being led and moved to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, whereby you might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in turn you become strong in your faith? Father, of course, seeing that for you, look at the picture and clear away. And see why you believe that God will see them reveal who you see as well. And respect the unbeliever, or respect the Lord who has been believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's speak to you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and your Christ. That we believe that what he does is our salvation. Nothing that we do, but what he does all by himself. The fruit of this salvation. And so we be intoxicated. Otherwise, let us use the word of the Apostle Paul in this section about the Spirit. If we receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the for us to be strong in our faith, for that we will honor you and glorify you, for having saved us from our sins and saved us from the condemnation of the just, holy, and righteous law, that we could not do even in this day. For your word said that man is missed, it's altogether vain. For us to be a prayer and the wonderful food of justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in this name that we pray these things